Our first lesson comes from the book of Job. Job 38, verses 1 through 7, and then continuing on at verses 34 through 41. Hear the word of the Lord. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the heaven beings shouted for joy. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that a flood of waters may cover you? Can you send forth lightning so that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the inward parts or given understanding to the mind? Who has the wisdom to number the clouds, or who can tilt the waterskins of the heavens when the dust runs into a mass and the clouds cling together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in their covert? Who provides for the raven its prey when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food? Our New Testament lesson comes from the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Hear the word of our Lord. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right side and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be a slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for being with us, for watching over us, and for keeping us. We ask, O Lord, that you will illumine the meditations of our minds and our hearts today, that you would show us your path for us through your word. Guide us and lead us to be your people in this world. In your name we pray. Amen. Buyer beware, or be careful what you wish for, is one of those normal phrases for us, isn't it? In the normal flow of things, many of us have situations that we didn't quite know what we were getting into when we were getting into it. I once knew a man who once had the phrase of, be careful what you pray for. And it was strange to me when I first met him, but then as I was looking for my first call in ministry and I made several prayers for patience, when he trotted it out to me, I had to sit and think of, well, I'll be, as the search went on and on for a little while longer than I wanted. This moment we have a buyer beware. Be careful what you're asking for. Not just for the two disciples who are filled with a little bit of chutzpah, but also for all of us and all the disciples. Star Wars, my favorite movie series, has this great line that constantly harkens back. I've got a bad feeling about this. Now you're going to watch all those movies again and you'll notice it. Or not. The transition here is as these brothers sit there, they should be noticing that this is not going to be a normal conversation for them. As they go up to Jesus and say, Jesus, we got a question for you. Just grant us whatever we ask. How does this not fall apart for them? And then you look at the other disciples and think about how suddenly now they are engaged in this conversation and engaging in it. They also want to know what they must do to sit at the right and the left-hand side. They too are learning about what's coming. The two brothers with their request of Jesus seems like one of those moments where you don't quite see the bus coming, but you feel it. You see what's coming down the road and you kind of are like, yeah, I'm going to miss that. The reality is you don't see it. The kids, Liam and Barb, both had their own little moments growing up with this. Liam, it was, he'd come up to you, stand next to you or sit next to you. Now picture Liam 2-3 years old. And he'd say, close your eyes. And you learned you only did this once. And I never warned my father-in-law. It always came with a, on your nose. Close your eyes. Every time, close your eyes. And you learned very quickly, you don't close your eyes. Barbara, I don't want to tell you. What did you do? I don't want to tell you. Every time, I don't want to tell you, it was something bad. The fact is, these disciples are in that moment, in that, I don't want to tell you. Close your eyes, Jesus. We don't want to tell you. The fact is, they are his disciples, his followers, and they have the audacity to come to him and say, grant us the first and second position, not in this world, but in glory. We don't want the first and second position now, later on in your kingdom, God. And instead of saying, get out of here, do you know what kind of chaos and cancer this is going to cause in our community? Jesus deals with it. He talks it through with them. He talks to them about how do you realize that this baptism I am going to be baptized in, this cup which I am going to drink from, is not a normal life. This is not a normal way of being. Can you do it? And again, it's that buyer beware moment of they don't know what they're taking on. None of the disciples do. Yes, we can. Yeah, we can. Yeah. Look at what happens going further all that Christ will do, be, and experience in his life that is left. The cross, the crucifixion, the persecution, the death and resurrection, all of that is part and parcel of this. And they're confident this cup is one that they can bear. In Matthew's telling of this passage, it's not the brothers who go up to Jesus and make this big ask. It's mom. So mom gets in trouble, not the disciples. And that's because at the end of all of this, as Jesus is dealing with it, you see what the response of the other disciples is. Well, who do they think they are asking this of Jesus? Who do you think you are, James and John? The other 10 are angry with them. Suddenly, what is a great community of believers walking together and serving their one Lord is now divided and divisive. But the reality is that Mark, instead of protecting James and John, helps us here. He points out to us that this is a human group of people, humans like us. Yes, great titans of faith, but still human beings who at times make mistakes and take their whole foot almost to the knee into their mouths and ask the unaskable and cause dissension. So often we have seen dissension within the church, dissension in the churches. The fact is, these brothers need to have their path set out in such a way that this moment doesn't grow, that this moment doesn't get worse. 10 of the 12 are now turned on the other two. But as Jesus always does, he's working his lesson plan. He's dealing with how to deal with this, not just today, but later down the road. Because if two brothers are willing to ask him this now, what about in a month? Where are his disciples going to be after his crucifixion, after his death? Where is this going to finish up? That's the reality that Jesus is dealing with. He's not playing a chess game for the now. He's playing chess on about 18 different boards at the same time. And sometimes the game isn't played now, but it's being played after the resurrection. He's prepping his disciples for that moment when Peter is the rock on which the church is being built. And then you have James and John trying to have that seat of honor. Imagine where the church would be, that early, just born church would be with that dissension. With that anger of the 12 being divided. Jesus isn't going to bury this uncomfortable moment and sweep under the rug. He's going to deal with it. He's going to not criticize his followers, but fix what's wrong with the conversation. He makes several things abundantly clear. That the places of glory is not something he can grant. Not something that can be just handed off and given. But it focuses on that main piece. That initial conversation is just the appetizer to the meal. It's the salad or soup, so to speak. Jesus' main focus here is on how the greater ripples are going to flow He wants the disciples to not care about the highest seat, the second highest seat, the third highest seat. Who is going to sit next to him in glory? He wants them to focus on what matters most. Serving. Being a servant. Remember their other conversation that we talked about a few weeks ago over who is the greatest. Who's the greatest among us, Jesus? You know, we were talking about that on the way here. And when we talked, Peter said he would be, but you know, James and John said that they could manage to get there. This is 1B. You know, this is the addendum to this. This is the second half. Because you see greatness being conversed. And greatness on the one hand on earth is one thing. And now we have greatness in glory being conversed about. It's that human drive in the disciples, that all too human drive, to want to be great, to want to be greater, which can be a great thing. It drives so much, but it can also be divisive. The fact is that the disciples are fighting often about who's going to be first chair, who's going to be second chair in the chorus of the believers. But Jesus' focus isn't on how it's given. It's what you need to do to get it. What do you need to do for greatness? Jesus has said time and time again that to be the greatest requires to shift your thinking. We do a lot of who is the greatest in everything. When you talk about sports, politics, history, business, humanitarian efforts, you talk about who is the greatest humanitarian of all time. We have the Nobel Prize to measure each year's greatest in such a thing. Whatever you want, there is a greatest every year. And every year they're chosen based on their contributions here, there. And the problem is often you're talking at cross purposes over what is and isn't making that person great. How do you rate someone when one person's talking in one category and one person's talking in another? How do you rate being the servant of God? How do you rate that? The problem is that God doesn't have the same grading scale. God doesn't have the same rating that we would. God wants us to be great by being servants. You can imagine the disciples sitting around arguing this over. 11 of them are sitting and arguing, and one of them is going about the day-to-day tasks, you know, picking up the food and cleaning it up. You know, that's the same person who all of a sudden looks down at the foot washing bowl and starts scrubbing everybody else's feet. Everybody thinks he's the least of the disciples, and then all of a sudden this happens, and there's this sudden rush from the disciples. No. I'll wash the feet. No. I've got cleanup. The reality is, it shouldn't take Jesus saying that true greatness is measured differently for us to change what we do and who we do. The fact of the matter is that great accolades are not the sign of a great Christian. Quiet service and servanthood is. The disciples were paying too much attention to how to build themselves up. And the true measure of greatness was in not being great at all, but just being a servant. It's walking as Christ does. Think of all the scandalous behavior Christ performs. He heals lepers. He goes to the broken and harmed in society. He is a servant to anyone and everyone. He doesn't seek out greatness, but he serves everyone. The true path for us to follow is not the greatness for us to achieve, but the serving that is available in our world. May we be servants for our Lord to our brothers and sisters. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please remember that as you leave the sanctuary this morning, you